Good morning, this is Pastor Stephen Baker, and welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of Harmony Baptist Church and our preaching service. And today we're going to be talking about household salvation from John 4, verses 46 through 54. And we've been studying through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings, and now we've left talking about the woman at the well at Samaria, and now we're going to get into the rest of John chapter 4, so household salvation. And by way of introduction this morning, Jesus had been ministering in Samaria for 2 days. Now he's on his way back to Galilee. And while he is traveling, a government official meets him and begs him to come heal his son, who is at the point of death, about 15 or 20 miles away. Jesus' interaction with this man results in the healing of his son and the salvation of his household. So the first thing we see is the return to Galilee in verse 46. And the Word of God says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum." So we don't know why Jesus stayed in Samaria for only a short period of time. His ministry there was fruitful, with many conversions. But we do know that later the Jews would accuse Jesus of being a Samaritan, a group of people that they hated. John 8:48, the Bible says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" But Jesus didn't stay there long, and so he returns to Cana of Galilee, and just as he had worked a miracle before, he will work a miracle now. This nobleman was a government official of some kind, probably a member of King Herod's court. And his son is sick at Capernaum. And now we see the request for healing in verses 47 through 50. "When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Galilee," or out of Judea rather, "into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." So this was a desperate situation. The nobleman, being a very important person, could have sent messengers to summon Jesus. He could have sent his servants and told Jesus, "Come here and heal my son." But instead he goes himself. After all, it was his child who was dying, and he wanted to ensure that Jesus would come. He obviously had heard about Jesus' ability to work miracles. So now we see Jesus' rebuke in verse 48. And this is a very interesting response, because when people asked Jesus for healing, Jesus was ready to heal and ready to help. But he rebukes him in verse 48. "Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." Now, we remember that the other miracle that was done here, the making of water to wine, when Jesus' mother asked him to help, she didn't actually ask him for a miracle, she asked him to help, what did he do? He rebuked her, in a way. He said, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour is not yet come." So that was a rebuke. And so here, the nobleman, he comes back into the same area, and the nobleman says, "Come heal my son, he's about to die." It was another desperate situation. Like in Cana at the wedding, when they ran out of wine, that would have been a public reproach, a public rebuke to the family, to the marriage, the whole thing would have been in trouble. And it was a desperate situation when Mary came to Jesus to ask him for help, and there was a rebuke. And so this nobleman's in a desperate situation. He comes to ask Jesus for help, and there is a rebuke. Now, This was not directed to the nobleman only, but also to the Jewish crowd. Ye is plural. And they needed to search their hearts. Did they want to see a magician who could work signs and wonders? Did they refuse to believe unless they saw some heavenly flash and fireworks? Remember that Jesus said in Matthew 12:39-40, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And so Jesus wanted to make sure that people weren't just following him for the miracles, for the flash, for the fireworks, for the heavenly signs and wonders. But he wanted to make sure that people were following him because of his teaching and because of who he was. And he was also showing us the fact that our faith needs to be there for the right reasons. Because you'll remember, if we go further back in John, there was a lot of people that believed in him around Jerusalem because of the miracles. And then as the Gospel of John progresses, we're going to get to a part of the Gospel of John where Jesus says some hard things, and many of those people that have believed because of the miracles depart, and they decide not to follow him anymore. So Jesus is saying, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And he's trying to clarify of what their faith is all about. But then we see the Father's importunity in verse 49. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. So the Father shows that he's not interested in anything except for his son to be healed. He's desperate. Now, for whatever reason, he doesn't think that Jesus will heal unless he comes down to where the child is. And that would be natural. It'd be natural for you to want someone that you think that can heal to come to where you're at. But this is different from the Gentile centurion's faith in Luke 7, who sent servants to tell Jesus, "Don't bother coming to the house because I'm not worthy for you to be under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed." And remember that Jesus said, "I haven't seen such great faith." No, not in Israel. In this case, the Jewish nobleman believes that Jesus should come to his house and that he must come to heal his son. That's what he believes, but he's going to find out that that's not the case. Now we see Jesus' promise in verse 50. Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now this is faith. This is faith. He believed the word and drops his request for Jesus to come to his house. The word is good enough. And now we see the reality of his faith. And I wish we could have faith like that. That just take the word. Take what God says. The word is good enough. And we just believe it. But that's what this man did. And we see the reality of his faith in verses 51 through 53. And first of all, in verse 51, we see the good news. Your son lives. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." And then the father inquires about the hour of the healing in verse 52. Then he inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." So the father may have delayed going home after Jesus told him that his son was healed. If this was Roman time, which John usually uses, then it was 7 p.m. when the fever left the child. So if the father had been worried after talking to Jesus, he would have traveled all night to get home. But he wasn't worried. Jesus told him to go home, or to go, rather, and his son would be fine, so he believed the word of God. Now we see the faith of the father and his household in verse 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed in his whole house. Now we see that his faith changed. John Calvin wrote, "Thus, not only does he now believe that his son will be cured through the kindness of Christ, but he acknowledges Christ to be the Son of God and makes a profession of faith in his gospel. His whole family joins him, which was an evidence of the miracle, and nor can it be doubted that he did his utmost to bring others along with him to embrace the Christian religion." And we see household salvation is something that the Bible teaches. For instance, Acts 18:8, "And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." And back in Acts chapter 16, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So it's a biblical thing for people to get saved and to lead their families to Christ. And if you have small children at home or young children, you need to tell them about the gospel. And you need to be reading the Bible with them and praying with them. We need to be leading our children to Christ. And we need to get our families into church. And we need to get our families around gospel preaching. And we need to get our families to Christ. And you'll notice in all these stories, it was men. The nobleman's son. The nobleman was a man. Crispus and his household in Acts 18, it was a man. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16, it was a man. All men leading their families. And statistics show that men who take their families to church, or men who get saved and set the example for the household, that their families end up getting saved. Now that's not to say if you're a single mom, and or if your husband's not saved, then you are the Christianity in your family. So share that Christianity with your children, and try and encourage your family to go to church. But it works better and biblically if the man gets saved, and then the man can lead his family. And that's a very important thing. So if you're a man listening to this, lead your family to church. Lead your family, more importantly, to Christ. Lead your family to the Bible. Lead your family in a spiritual way. I don't know if it's this way in other places, but in the United States, we kind of have grown up with a culture where the woman is the spiritual leader in the home, the mom, and mom is the one that encourages us to pray and to read our Bible and all those kind of things. And all those things are very important for mom to do, but really it's men that should take that responsibility and lead their families to household salvation. God wants to save your family. That's the important thing here. God wants you to believe, but he wants your whole house to believe too. That's what this means in Acts 16:31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." It means your house will be saved the same way, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God wants us to see our families get saved. Maybe you're an older person, and you have sons and daughters that are not in church today. And it's your job as a father or a mother to encourage your children to get back in church. If you've done things wrong, apologize and repent and encourage your children not to make the same mistakes you have made. Encourage them to get back into the house of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thy house. Household salvation. Now finally we see the revelation of the Son in verse 54. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So through these miracles, Jesus is being revealed. Not only is he looked at as a powerful teacher, but he is being revealed to be the promised Messiah, the Son of God, who came into the world. And the reason why he came was to die for our sins on the cross and to be buried and to rise from the dead, so that everyone that believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life with God. And it's our job to take that message not only to others, but to our families. It'd be a shameful thing if you're listening to this, and if you reach the world with Christ, if you reach your community with Christ, if you reach others with Christ, but your family dies and perishes. Why let that happen to your family? Why not make your first mission field your home? Why not teach your children to read the Bible? Why not set the example at home? Quit sacrificing your family on the altar of a job and on the altar of a ministry and on the altar of everything else that you put before your family, but instead do the duty that God has given you to reach your family. Household salvation. And that's what happened to this nobleman's family, because he believed the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that have listened today, and I do pray that you would bless them. And I pray that we would reach our families for Christ. And I pray if anyone listening is not saved, that today would be the day that they would turn to you in faith and trust you to forgive their sins and to save their souls. We thank you for dying for us on the cross. We thank you for rising from the dead, and we pray that we would have faith in you and spread that faith to our loved ones. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.